Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We are going to give you some marketing. You know, the whole intent is, what is it going to take? And, you know, obviously there are a lot of people that are waking up that they have to do something. And this is where I believe it or not, the Spirit is blessing us, because people are finally sensing that things just don't correct themselves on their own. That what we have to do, whether we like it or not, is to actually and personally get involved in the process of self-government. You know, it's not self-government because we're a democracy. It's self-government because we are a republican form of government. And it is the people that has to keep the government in check. You got to understand, in a democracy, we are the government and we're just fighting each other, in a mob rules capacity to dictate what we're going to do for ourselves or what we won't do for ourselves and so forth. And in the most part, this kind of lends to how one can see the Republican Party, especially at the national level, as culprits in perpetuating that democratic paradigm. Lots of conservatives. I hear lots of conservatives constantly emphasize the phrase, "we the people," and forget the sovereignty. I mean, many of them give lip service to the 17th Amendment. And as a matter of fact, I recently just said, I think it was in either yesterday or the day before, in a previous episode, I basically put it out there that I don't have a problem with the existing Constitution. There are things that we can improve upon, absolutely. But is there anything within the Constitution that's causing our crisis, that's causing all of this tyranny? No. There's not. Even the progressive amendments, people point at the 16th Amendment as the, you know, mechanism for, you know, the IRS and individual tax. You got to remember that even though that amendment exists, it grants only the power of taxation, specifically to the people, because at the point in time, they were spending money. Now, had they at that time, when they needed to pass the 16th Amendment, spend that money on constitutional things, such as, you know, fighting off evil hordes because the world was attacking us, well, then okay. I mean, that's what they have to do, because it's a constitutional duty they're fulfilling in protecting us. But the reason why they passed that amendment was because federal government got so out of hand in spending money unconstitutionally. You have to understand that they basically inflicted their spendthrift attitude upon the people through the 16th Amendment. Again, we have the ability to force them. As I tell people, with Republic Review, the 16th Amendment becomes, just a dead part of the Constitution. You have to understand this, that when they can only spend money on those things constitutional, why would they need to tax us? As a matter of fact, there's no reason why they can't actually just start going back to impost taxes, excise taxes, and the types of taxes that paid for government before. Now, manufacturing arms, especially technology and those types of things, and the business of world security, it is a little expensive, but it is, that expense is nothing compared to what we're spending on the unfunded liabilities of Medicare, Social Security, and the social engineering, go look at the outlays. We bring in more than enough money. I think, what did we bring in? About $5 trillion. During the Obama administration, I have to go back and look, but during the Obama administration, we were bringing in somewhere around $2.5 trillion, and they were spending somewhere around $5 to $6 trillion. Now, if I remember correctly, the Department of Defense, as Obama was misusing it, they weren't even coming close to a $1 trillion budget. And so I think with Trump, did he even spend $1 trillion each year? I don't think so. I believe that the majority, I'd have to go check, but I know it wasn't $2 trillion. It wasn't 50% of the outlays. When people look at the budget of the federal government, they go, wow, that's a big chunk. Well, no, it's not, because they don't actually show all of the other expenses and costs. They don't show all of the welfare that they're pouring out to states. They're not showing everything, because the outlays of what they actually spend, go look at it. Go look at how much they spend on defense and what they really spend money on, or what the total amount of what they spent money on for the year. And you'll find that through the taxation process, whatever they're taxing, we absolutely have more than enough money to pay for the defense and the necessary, because that's the big cost, the necessary cost of government in addition. Now, I'm bringing this up because I'm going to go on a little tangent, because remember I said, what's it going to take? Now, there's an organization, excuse me, out there that... I support their premise. I don't necessarily work with them directly, but it's our first right, and I think they're part of Tactical Civics, which is a decent organization. There's a lot of, the John Birch Society is a decent organization. I just don't work with them, and there's reasons why. But this one premise of ratifying Madison's First Amendment is a very powerful tool that we can use in displacing Congress and forcing Congress into a position where they telecommute and they have to be available to us. Now, people go, well, that's a lot of money. Well, so here's the thing. If all of a sudden, because one of the reasons why they justified a lot of their salary, because they had to travel for the full time. They had to live in the place where they were elected. So they had to maintain a residency, and then they had to go live in D.C. So instantly they were popped into, let's call it elitist status, because they had to have two houses. Well, okay, that doesn't have to happen anymore. Their travel to D.C. should not be anything longer than a couple of days if they have to travel. Everything can be done virtually online. So let's take away their compensation for their home. And as a matter of fact, why do they need the entourage and all the other things that they have back in D.C.? They wouldn't even need that here. And as a matter of fact, if you look at putting the House of Representatives into 6,000 to 7,000 people, and you look at how many people in each state, why would we need to have them higher when they could be doing all of the work? You got your senior people, excuse me, you got your junior people, or you divvy the work up, appropriately, and let them do the work. This way we know they should know what's being done, and they should answer for it. How many times have you listened to a politician, and because some assistant is working with lobbyists and creating some bill, and they go, well, I really don't know what's in the bill, I haven't seen it yet. But they're writing it, they're sponsoring it. You see the problem. The problem is that they're just pompous figureheads sitting in a chair, and they're being paid, and their biggest decision isn't whether they vote for this reason ideologically or not. They have to figure out how they vote and how it affects their pay. You need to see, because this is actually documented, they get paid. So that first off, they have to pay for sitting on a committee. And then while they sit on that committee, the bills and everything else that they have to review, there are different lobbyists supporting different positions on different bills. And so if they vote for this, then they will get this much money from that person. And there's more money in bad bills for voting for them than there is bad. And so it's very tempting for a congressman like CMR, and as a matter of fact, it's been proven. It has been proven that CMR has become a millionaire because she has voted for the progressive sides of bills. She's not a representative of the people of the Eastern Washington area. And I'm going to tell you, you have the same problem with your representatives. They may seem conservative, but they're on their way to becoming a millionaire. Excuse me. That's why all of them, almost all of them, have become millionaires, because the lobbyists and their entourage are doing all of the work, and they just have to figure out how much more money they can make. But this is how they have so much free time in being able to throw money that they're making into the stock market on insider trading information so that they can go off and cash in on the information that they have already on a purchase, a program, or what have you. I mean, we're already seeing this with the Biden administration regarding Raytheon. So one of the things that we need to get you engaged in, what is it going to take? Well, if you understand, there's all sorts of bricks that we need to start putting down to create walls and to improve our support system. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so the whole point here, because remember, I started off saying that I don't have a problem with the existing Constitution. Yeah, it would be good to get rid of the 17th Amendment. It would be good to get rid of the 16th. But those are not the drivers, excuse me, like everybody's making them out to be. They're not the drivers that are creating this constitutional crisis. The constitutional crisis is this insatiable government that takes every power anything that suits their whims to control and to basically use as tools to move their agenda forward. They're doing it. And so I want you to understand that we do have bricks out there that we can use as stopgap measures while we're working on getting Republic Review moving. Now, I actually have the ear of legislators in several state houses that are actually understanding the importance of what Republic Review is and what they need to do and how they can do it. There are good people in office. It's 2 years till the next election. The upcoming election is critical, and you're going to hear me talk about the upcoming election. That just means that we're in an election cycle constantly. This is far more important than the news cycle. And you have to start developing who is going to be that person. Now, we understand that voters vote Republican, but I believe if the Constitution Party is smart, they can actually have, just like the Libertarians and just like the Democrats, run politicians in a county where they know they can actually win. The good thing is that once that person goes into office, they can easily change their party affiliation to the Constitution Party. That's happened before. What we need to do, because I'm going to tell you, the Republican Party is not nurturing the next representative. Excuse me, I'm sorry. The Republican Party is not nurturing the next representative and the next commissioner for your county and so forth. So get involved with the Constitution Party and start work as... Here's the thing. If you're in the Constitution Party, you're going to start learning about the Constitution, and you can actually start help educating the electorate over the next 2 years as to how these problems are really more party-related and or individual party-related, like this Republican and that Republican. You know, there are good Republicans out there, but for the most part, they don't know what they're doing. As a matter of fact, I live in an area that everybody thinks we have good Republicans, and there's only one I can think of, and he's not in my area. Rob Chase is a good Republican. I believe he's a much better Republican and a much better politician than the guy he replaced, who was supposedly a champion for the Constitution and a fighter for the people. But when real credible, I shouldn't even say credible, I proved it wasn't credible, but when real heat came on, this individual that Rob replaced was all constantly involved in local bickering with a progressive leader who had a Republican label. And I just looked at the two of them and I go, where's the leadership? Neither of these men have any leadership. And they constantly threw people around. They abused people. And when the heat came on, at a state level, that's when, you know, this supposedly champion for the Constitution backed out. And I'm going, I don't get it. Where's your resolve? He had a slam. He had the support of his constituents. They would have reelected him. And instead, he played some shenanigans. To this day, I still don't understand why he did what he did. But it doesn't matter. That's what we see in supposedly these champions. I happen to know a person that is lauded in Idaho as a huge constitutional legislator. And she told me specifically, I don't know much about the Constitution. And I'm going, okay, so this is what we have. We have the blind being led by those who are willing to lead and take advantage of the blind, the lobbyists, and so forth. So anyway, it's really important that we really start looking at what little blocks do we have available. One of the things that we do want to do as we start moving Republic Review forward is we would like to have this dialogue on the First Amendment and getting people to actually, and I'm not talking about the Bill of Rights First Amendment, I'm talking about Madison's submission of the Bill of Rights First Amendment, the one that didn't get ratified. This would actually send apportionment and force apportionment down to 50,000 people. And therefore, it would actually force the displacement of the swamp. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because the reason I brought up the budget is because there has been pushback from conservative champions that I believe are really conservatives, and I think that it's a gut reaction of going, man, this is a huge ballooning of government. Well, it's not. Because if all of a sudden you get rid of the employees that these people have, and you get, you know, they don't need 20, 30, 40 people to be employed, and they don't need to live in that area. If you look at their expenditures, how much they spend on a house and how much they spend on, you know, the flights and their lifestyle, we don't have to pick that tab up anymore. It may not be a direct compensation, but it's still, who pays for it? We pay for it. It's a huge drop. I look at the salaries. If they dropped their employees and they only had maybe one assistant that would be able to answer their calls and manage their schedules, because they're at home, you know, and as a matter of fact, as we start downscaling, because look at what happens. If you look at how this snowball would roll, as states started ratifying this, the states would start talking about how are they going to employ or how would they execute this strategy of displacing the swamp. One of the many things that they have to talk about is apportionment, because apportionment has been lingering out there and it has never been discussed. It's just been granted because of the thiefdom that operates the House of Representatives. They've maintained that apportionment includes illegal aliens. I believe the states and state legislators, as they move forward, need to make sure that states get appropriate apportionment and that states that have high counts of illegal aliens get no apportionment for that. They're illegal aliens. And apportionment, according to Section 2 of the 14th Amendment, limits or prohibits them from being able to account for apportionment. People who were not registered voters are not U.S. citizens. Anyway, it starts this dialogue of what and how they could, you know, not necessarily control Congress, but how Congress should be operating and literally, you know, bring forward, I would say, the initial wave, because who's going to fill those seats? Right now, we already know that the 435, almost all 435 congressmen are corrupt. Almost all 435. So when you add another 5,000 to 6,000 to that, well, who's going to bring those in? Well, it sounds to me like there's a job for the party in developing and nurturing. And this is where we start finding people that actually start campaigning on how they are going to break down this cabal and they're going to bring Congress home to the people and get it away from the lobbyists. You got to realize that it's very convenient for the lobbyists to walk down the halls of Congress in the Capitol building and basically buy off every politician. How hard would that be to have to travel to all 50 states and actually touch all 6,000 to 7,000? Maybe they'll only go for half of them. But my point is, we make the job a lot harder for the globalists to even influence. This is a huge paradigm shift. And this is where I truly believe that if we had discourse over this, so this would probably take days to put everything onto the board and actually, you know, map out everything. But there's no doubt in my mind that this would not only be a financial savings, this would be a government savings. Congress has no responsibility in bringing money into the state. I understand that there are people that are influential that are getting that money, and they are buying and influencing these elections at our own detriment. We need to unleash the states, and we need to focus at the state level what our state economy is. Do you know? I actually know. And he's a Republican, excuse me, in the local area that receives and practically has a monopoly on certain contracts. And that's because he's a huge loyalist to the Republicans and the machine that actually awards those contracts. And this guy's made millions and millions because he's bought, it's kind of like Trump. He's bought politicians at a local level. And this happens everywhere, my friends. When all of a sudden we start taking away Congress's ability to bring money home on pet pork products, we got to, and you know what? These are the things that, again, going in, they can end pork barrel projects. This is how you do it in a, and I call it a dramatic way. You can't change Congress by trickling changers in because they get corrupted as soon as they hit the water. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so let's put this into perspective. If you have 50,000 people that are now going to be represented by one person, how much budget do you think it would take? And currently, look at state legislators, because I can tell you that in many states, the state senators and legislators, they represent pretty close to half that, or in some cases, more than that. I think that, and I'd have to go actually look at the numbers, but I would ask you, because in Montana, it may be like 14, 20,000 for a senator in the state, but in other states, like I think California, it's like 100 and some thousand that the state legislators function and represent. And so how much money do you think it would take? And so one of the things that the local people, it's one thing to have the idiots where you have ballot harvesting and those types of things. But when you've taken your congressional districts and drawn it down to a 50,000 person population, that actually makes it so that you don't have 10 counties being represented in Congress. You have multiple people per county, practically, in most cases. Now, there are those smaller counties, like even in California and Washington and around the United States. But for the most part, like if you look at Montana, Montana goes from a single representative to 20. And so the people in those smaller communities, Take Montana. It's a huge state, and you have one person that represents that entire state. Now you divide that down by 20, and now it becomes very reasonable for people to be able to reach their representative and talk to them and actually express their concerns. This is where it's really, really important to start educating. And there's no doubt in my mind, when we start educating these folks, we can actually start controlling them better as well. Because as we start educating the people using First Amendment petitions, grand juries, common law grand juries, and these types of tools for declarations and enforcing the Constitution, we are turning the tide. Now, we have petitions at the grand scale, but what we need to do is we need to get, and this is where the NLA comes in. The NLA is going to start actually working and educating people at the local level on petitions. Do you understand the blessing that would be? Because now you can actually start going in and educating your representatives at the county commissioners or supervisors, whatever you call them in their parish. They will start learning that, hey, these people have a right to complain, and we have to respond. And boy, we can get in trouble if we don't. This is going to become a big push. You know, folks, we're not talking about firing weapons. We're not talking about beating back the Chinese hordes. That could happen if we do nothing now. It is far easier to protect what we have and to take back the ground we've lost than it would be when they finally surrender the Constitution. And that day is coming soon. So getting back to this whole concept of what we have in the Constitution, our problems do not come from the Constitution and its existing amendments. You can't prove that the 17th Amendment is the downfall of the Republic. No, because the states still have their sovereignty, whether they have representation in the Senate or not. The Senate cannot amend the Constitution. It still requires the states. The states have all the power. It's just that they may have lost, state legislators may have lost the representation, but this doesn't mean that the states have the authority and power to actually reel in the federal government. So this is where we are. What we have to do is we have to start educating, not necessarily all the people, but we have to educate the educators. My focus is on the state legislators. My focus is on those who are involved in the patriotic movement. There are many people who don't care. And have you ever tried to drag somebody into a classroom that doesn't want to learn something? Why? When they finally figure out that it's going to affect them, then they will learn. Some people will never learn and will never really care. They'll just kind of ask, oh, what happened? Oh, okay. And then they'll go off to watching their game again. If they don't like it, then they can get involved. But I am telling you, those who are in the throes of this fight understand what's at stake here, and they understand what is happening and what needs to be done. So, anyway, one of the things that I also want you to really understand is this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. What we want to do is let you cogitate. The reason I kind of took this long monologue is I want you to think about this concept of having representation for 50,000 people. I want you to ask yourself, if you're pretty smart and you have leadership capabilities and you have the ability to actually articulate and you're not afraid of getting up in front of people, why can't you be that first congressman, that first representative from that newly formed 50,000 person congressional district? Why can't we identify those who are going to be, and bottom line, as we start grooming them, even if we don't have the amendment passed, there are positions at the county commissioner level. And this is why the Constitution Party, if you're working with them and saying we need to focus on developing and nurturing our next replacements at these positions within our county and state. That's how you do it. If you are the, you know what? Failing to plan is planning to fail. That's what the Republican Party banks on. They have a laissez-faire design just like the Democrats. And they, what they're doing is they're waiting for the those who are the God makers in your area, those who they can find that they have information on, dirt or what have you, or their levels of control, because they'll do anything for money, then those are the people that they will elect and they will protect. And so we have to start looking seriously at going into the Constitution Party, going into the National Liberty Alliance, and working in our local communities so that we can actually start planning. Because remember, if you plan, you have a better likelihood of succeeding. If you set goals and objectives and you focus on them and you work on them, you have a better likelihood of succeeding. But if you go by the process, this is why I ask you, go into a Republican Party meeting for the next few months. They have them once a month. Go attend and prove me wrong. Prove that they're not that they are not bringing up, because in my local meetings, we do talk about the Constitution. We do talk about trying to take over the Republican Party. I am telling you, that is a battle that has been lost, because at the very top levels, at the states, most of the states, and at the national level, you can't unseat those kings and the kingmakers, period. So this, if we're going to actually start changing who our servants are and who they serve, we have work to do. You understand? And this is why we hope to get you involved. We want you to understand what we need to start getting into place and what these people eventually have to do, that eventually they need to do republic review. But in the process, we can start shutting down unconstitutional government by this one amendment, by getting people to actually start standing up. Anyway, so if you have, getting back to my charge for you, getting back to that thing I'm asking you to do, tell me why you think that First Amendment is a problem, how it can't really, and look at the magnitude of what it would do, and how the expenses and everything else would actually, I'd see them as it's a wash. It would probably be pretty close to an even wash. Getting rid of the staff, getting rid of the houses. Oh, well, yeah, the Washington, D.C. housing market may collapse. Well, there's a bubble that's never popped yet, and this may actually be that pop. Okay, well, you know what? Every market in the United States has popped except for Washington, D.C. So isn't it time that bubble popped? It's a pretty big bubble, but I don't care. I didn't see them caring when my bubble popped and when your bubble popped. When you watch your housing market and your housing value just plummet. Well, I'm not saying, you know, bad is bad, but bubbles are bad. If we don't have these fake ceilings, or actually these fake floors that keep the market rising and rising, like in D.C., and we get rid of that machine that feeds that housing market, wow. Well, you know what? There's a good likelihood Virginia may turn red because of that, because they would be displacing a lot of communists that would no longer have to work there. Interesting. But where would they go? Well, let's hope that they don't go to your state. But anyway, when we come back, we'll get into some need-to-know news. But I do want your comments. Send me an email or call our comment line, 425-270-5416. We'll be right back after this. Thank you.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so let's kind of dial it up into some need-to-know news, or at least some commentary, because yesterday, and I told you we'd finish this up, yesterday, because I didn't get a chance to really talk about what I believe is the bait and switch. As Nick Rockefeller stated, the end goal, because we were just talking about the elitist, and how can you tell when the enemy of evil, or your evil enemy, those who are trying to do evil in the area, in the community, in the world, what have you, when they start bragging and telling you what they've done and how they're doing it and what they're going to do to you, this means that they've already have what they believe is the power base necessary that you can't touch them. The end goal, again, this quote, the end goal is to get everybody chipped to control the whole society, to have the bankers and the elite people control the world. Now, let's just tell you right now that the truth of what you just heard is the last portion. The very first portion is not really the mechanism of control. The end goal is not necessarily to chip you, but it is, their end goal is to control the whole society, to have bankers and the elite people control the world. Excuse me. Now, so when I say that they want to chip you, you know, we've seen the fruition of these interesting, or let's just say eye-opening, thought-provoking books and ideas, how all of a sudden those things kind of come to fruition. Now, 1984 was a book, George Orwell, that talked about the future society of how government would control us. Obviously, that concept still resonated that it was all about control. It's always been about control. The mechanisms and the tools that they use is right now the most important thing that they can disinform you on, because everybody thinks that it's going to be a chip. How are they controlling the Chinese? Are they going around chipping them? Nope. How is China rolling out
this artifact. They have discovered they don't need to chip you. They can track you by your biometrics. And as a matter of fact, with these vaccines, there is this operating system with nanotechnology that has nothing to do with a chip that they're injecting into you to basically make you a part of the system or the network. Because as I've heard people cite this, it is pretty much the same thing as uploading an operating system. It, in the gene editing and some of the things that they're injecting into the body, it is, and it has the intent, and their intent is to gain some level of control at a sub level. Now, you know, like a firmware level, you know, does your computer know at a firmware level whether, you know, it's doing what it's supposed to be doing, or if its subroutines have kind of changed? Because your operating system that you interface with and the conscience that you talk with or what have you of the computer, it's not telling you what that is doing. And there's many a computers out there that have been built in China that have firmware that is actually capturing information packets and sending it back to the mothership. In Lenovo was notorious for that. They're Lenovo computers and laptops. An old AT&T name that built its a reputation on, you know, a decent product that got bought out by China, and then China started doing what we did. We did those same things in the 80s. That was our technology. Whenever we allowed technology to leak out to somehow escape or get into the hands of communists and so forth, we used that technology. Now it's being used against us. It's being used against the entire world, actually. And so the fact is that I don't believe that it's about a chip. I truly believe that it is your biometrics. See, the thing is, when you are herded into a vaccination center, are you willingly giving up because it, or are you willingly surrendering and receiving a mark? Because, see, I don't believe it's about receiving. I believe it's about taking. And I believe that when you receive a vaccination because, you know, you're in a group, they're using compulsion, I don't believe that the compulsion counts. I believe that you actually, and we as individuals, because I think this is the paradigm of Christianity, right? It's liberty. We have to choose for ourselves. And so it's those who receive the mark that have made the choice of doing that. And so are we making the choice, or are we being told we have to receive that? So, and I know I may be splitting on semantics, words, what have you, but I truly believe, because the way they're doing this is they're using biometric information. And did China go around and say, you know, you must come in? No, they said if you want to be able to, you know, utilize or, you know, get this free technology and be able to do the things that you would like to do, you have to come in and, you know, register yourself. Now, is 100% of the people registered in China? Probably not, but most of them are. And most of them have been mapped as identifiers. So what happens with biometrics is that if they pick and register you, because it's like a fingerprint. When a fingerprint is discovered at a crime scene, and they go, well, we don't have any matches, well, it still gets registered in the database. And so when that finger pops up at the next crime scene, they go, ah, we got the same person in these same locations. And they start mapping that. Well, because fingerprints are not live, they have no idea who that fingerprint is. But with face recognition technology, and I forget there was an acronym for that, ATI, automatic target indicators. And so they can, you know, read a face by your biometrics of a face and go, boom, you know, this person is this person, and if you're registered, they'll know who you are. And if you're not registered, if they don't know who you are immediately because you've not registered, over time, they can figure you out. They can determine where you live, and it's just a matter of deduction to determine who that person is, because it's live. They see you. They know exactly where you are. They know you. They're not finding some fingerprint in some room, because based on the fingerprint size, could it be a young man, a kid, or is it a woman's fingerprint? They don't know. But when they start seeing you, all of a sudden, there's a lot of information that they now have. And so they start recognizing that. But I believe that the real bait and switch is that when the banking system says, hey, you have to get registered, you got to come down here. Because remember when they started doing direct deposit? At first, you know, it was something that you were told to do. Now, in the military, everybody was mandated to do. But they said, you don't have to. We'll continue mailing checks. Well, mailing checks became problematic because they started hoodwinking thieves to go and steal your checks or what have you, or physical checks. And so there became this, okay, well, it's much better to have direct deposit. Well, the same thing is going to happen when all of a sudden they say the only way that you, because how many times have you had your card or your credit card or whatever you use electronically in transactions, how many times has that been compromised? I mean, especially cards. And so if there's an increase in that and everybody starts getting infected or affected, then all of a sudden you have, well, I'd like to do something different than just using this card. They're supposed to be making these cards foolproof, but they know they won't, and that's not going to be the solution. The solution is that you, as an identifier, as a biometric unique number, because your fingerprints, your whole biometrics, your iRed, everything, those are unique. They're all different snowflake type of data. And so it's a matter of you going in and registering. And then once you do that, then you can actually be tied to their system. You do it willingly. And I think that is that's how they're going to get the mark, because the mark isn't necessarily given to you. I believe you have it. You just need to register it with the banks and everybody else. And by doing so willingly, you have taken the mark. I don't believe that it's a matter of whether they can, you know, tie you to a table and inject you. That'd be the same thing as being dragged into the river and being baptized. Can you be forced to be saved? No. Anyway, here is, again, back to the enemies and their bragging. Here is J. Edward Griffin actually with that Time magazine published. So I'm actually going to get into what was published in Time and how they're bragging and how successful they were able to pull off this election to move America in the direction they want. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. So what's it going to take to get you involved? God bless. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.